Hello friends, let me take you to the discussion of this chapter number 10, which is titled as Directing the Vertical Process. We have given this title, Directing the Vertical Process. So when we are covering the various processes of principles of management, one of the most important process, rather two of them are there, which involve human intervention a lot. There are two processes which involve human intervention a lot. One is what we are discussing right now, directing. The other one is coordinating. Directing is a vertical process, top-down process in most cases, whereas coordinating would be a horizontal process in most cases. So directing is coming from top to, as the name indicates, it's about giving directions, orders, etc. from the top management down the line, within a department by the HOD down the line to all the executives reporting to him. Right? So let's see what it is, what is in store for us. So here we have, directing is a process of top-down approach. It's a vertical function process in which orders come from the top for the subordinates to follow. And directing is a person-centric process. What do you mean by person-centric? It means that directing is based on what the person's way of behaving occurs. Same group of people, I would be effective in directing. Someone else may not be effective in directing the same group of people. So it's the person, the manager, whose directing capacity or the directing process makes or breaks the directing effective. It is person-centric. So we come across someone who's very effective because of his proper directions, and we may come across someone else who's not effective because of his directions not being properly handled by him. Is highly person-centric, right? Direction is a management function performed by top-level officials of the management. Need not be all the time management function. I would like to add to this. It's a function in which anybody who would like to get work done directs from a position of legitimacy. Anyone who has to get work done directs with a position of legitimacy. When I say legitimacy, it means directing is a function which is supported by the position you hold, which is given by the company to you, and in that position there is an authority and a responsibility that is already bestowed upon you. So when that is given to you, then the directing becomes effective. Who is directing you? Your manager. Your manager, your HOD. Now this person has got a legitimacy of directing you. That means you better take the directions, the instructions and the orders and execute them. So one of the supporting factors of direction is the position of legitimacy, and that's what makes it a management function. That means it's in the part of the whole management grid, right? Directing, though top-down approach, is actually a two-way approach. Orders come from the top-down and the feedback goes bottom-up. It's a form of a communication. Usually the directions are all about what? About tasks to be done, actions to be taken, activities to be mobilized, goals to be achieved, right? So all this is coming from top down, and every time I take an action, every time I'm engaging myself in an activity, every time I'm going towards a goal, I have to give a feedback. So it's top down and bottom up, both ways, right? Direction is necessary to achieve proper implementation of goals, and direction consists of processes and techniques utilized in issuing instructions and making certain that operations are carried out as originally planned. There's a goal to be achieved by the department, which is a part of the goal of the organization itself. That goal and objectives put together, those instructions are given in a written form. Orders are given also in a written form and verbally. And then it comes top down, and then whatever originally the company has planned out, we have to execute the whole thing in the form of directions to initiate actions. Now there are certain principles of directing which we need to know, and one of them is harmony of objectives. Direction should be such that individuals can integrate their objectives with the organization objectives. When I am directed by my senior, I have an objective of my work which I need to do, and the objective coming from the senior to me, which again comes from the objective of his senior. And when you trace it upwards, it comes from the objective of the organization. So all these objectives have to align themselves. They should not be at cross purposes. If my objective is aligned with my senior's objective and his senior's objective and so on with the organization's objective, then there'll always be a meaningful completion of the work and there'll be a lot of employee engagement and joy and motivation. And hence, there has to be harmony of objectives. Next comes maximum individual contribution. The management should adopt a technique of direction which enables maximum contribution by the members. Simply means that the person's resourceful capabilities, his competencies, his skills have to be properly and fully utilized. In many cases, we direct people and we notice that either the person who's giving the directions is not fully aware of the capabilities and the competencies of the person, the subordinate, or it also happens that the person is not utilizing the capacity of the skills and abilities to the fullest extent. Now this has to be taken care of. Otherwise, what happens is the person who gets directed, who is underutilized, may not feel up to the mark, he may not feel motivated, and if the instructions are not properly given or there's a disinterest in doing things, then he may also switch off and he may not be very comfortable doing what he's doing, right? Next comes unity of direction or command. An employee should receive orders and instructions only from one superior. The scalar principle demands that we need to have only from one superior, we must have the directions coming. If it comes from different people, all of us know how difficult it is and it'll be cross purposes, two different personalities giving you two different orders, you'll have a major confusion. Efficiency is very important for directing. The subordinate should participate in the decision-making process so that they would have a sense of commitment, and this will ensure implementation of decisions and will increase the efficiency of the subordinates. The key words are sense of commitment. So when I am giving directions to someone, that person should have a sense of commitment and understanding and alignment of his objectives with my objectives and the objectives of the company. When all these things are coming together, the sense of commitment, then automatically the efficiency of the function getting over, of the action being taken, is pretty high. Direct supervision. Managers should have direct relationship with their subordinates, direct relationship, face-to-face communication, informal, with a personal touch, so that the subordinates will ensure successful direction. Very easy to understand. Those of us who are having informal relationship with our juniors, we'll always find that things are becoming much, much easier for getting done. Otherwise, if there is a tension between two people, senior and junior, due to formal communication, one or the other or both choosing to be formal because of certain personality issues, it becomes very stressful to work. Then whatever directions are given may not be construed in a positive way. Effective communication. The superior must ensure that the plans, policies and responsibilities are fully understood by the subordinates in the right direction. It's a communication which is to be properly conveyed. Directions have to be given in such a way that the directions are understood by the subordinate in the way he understands, and he or she will have to give us back whether how much they have understood. Only when I'm convinced about the directions being understood, that's the time I can say for sure that my communication has worked. In many scenarios, people just give directions and they assume that the person has understood without even checking and cross-checking. And if they have not understood it properly and they have actually, the whole work is completely going haywire because of wrong understanding, then the person who is directed, the manager, starts taking him to task. So that assumption should not happen. That's something which we must challenge by asking questions whether the person has understood or not, and then asking him to initiate actions accordingly. Issuing orders or instructions. There are two words, orders and instructions, that are a part of any directing process. An order is used by the management as a tool for direction. It's in a written form. An order can be issued only by a superior, and the supervisor has a right to enforce this order over his subordinate. This is very, very important part of directing, is that the directing is an imperative. Directing comes, as I told you, with the position of legitimacy of the position, of the job. So since I am responsible for the particular position I'm occupying, I have to do it. It can be done in two different manners. One is, it can be done with a lot of informal understanding and commitment, self-driven by me, If it doesn't happen that way by me, then my senior is well within his rights of legitimacy to push it down on me. That's where he could enforce it on me. So my call, my take on this is very simple. Why do you want to wait till somebody enforces your duty which you're supposed to do at your level? Do it on your own, get committed, find the meaningfulness of the work, and then things become very okay, very easy, right? What's the characteristics of a good order? A good order should be what? It should be reasonable and enforceable over subordinates. An order should be, order means I'm telling you to do something as a part of the job. And the order should be very reasonable with a little bit of stretch, but it can't be unreasonable without any support. Many times we come across orders which are unreasonable simply out of the blue, which does not have any rhyme or reason for being there. But then people do that, right? A clearly defined order should be easily understandable. An order should be such that it facilitates the achievement of the objectives of the organization. It doesn't go at cross purposes. And then an order should be complete in all respects. An order should encourage the subordinates to willingly accept it. The wording of the order, the way the instructions are given after the order, verbal instructions, one-to-one, all those things have to become cohesive so that the person knows that this is a responsibility I need to handle and he is willingly doing it. The influencing part of the communication is very essential in ensuring that the order is properly understood. So, among the various characteristics of good order, one of the important things is that it should have a proper wording. It should have a proper tone. A tone of encouragement, at the same time firmness of getting the work done. Okay? There are three techniques of directing followed by the management, and these are briefly explained as follows. Rather, I would not say three techniques of management, it's about three different types of people whom we come across, three different types of directing styles, three different types of directing styles emerging out of the personalities of people. Like we said in the beginning, direction is person-centric. Since it is person-centric, each one directs by what makes things work. A person who is very dominant, he finds that he is dominant because it works for him. We say in behavior, OB, organization behavior subject, that people behave the way they behave because the behavior works. So I continue to behave the way I'm behaving because my behavior is producing results. So this person who's very autocratic, who's very pushy, he is able to be pushy, and because he's pushy, he's able to get things done his way. So one example I've given you. Similarly, each one of us has got different ways of getting work done. Some people do it with a soft approach and they're successful. Some people do it with a participative approach and they are successful that way. And taking the personality into account, three different styles of directing is what is being explained right now. Okay? So the first one is consultative direction. The superior has consultation with his subordinate before issuing a direction, and the consultation is made to find out the feasibility, enforceability, and the nature of the problem. Now, depending upon the comfort zone of the senior, he may go for a consultative type of a directing. He may be a natural consultative directing person, because he is comfortable involving his subordinates into the decision-making process, into the directing process. Okay? And next comes the free-rein direction. Free-rein, as the name indicates, it's a let-go type of a direction, wherein the work is allocated, the directions are given, the orders are issued, and then the people are allowed to be on their own without going in for constant follow-up and interference. The subordinate is encouraged to solve the problem independently under this direction technique. And the superior assigns a task in a general manner, and the subordinates are expected to take initiative to solve the problem. Now, to whom can we give a free rein type of a direction? Below us, those people who are knowing the job, who are self-driven, and who are responsible for their actions, who are very matured. So, in certain scenarios, you find this free rein direction coming out very, very effective. Highly qualified people, experienced people, who know their worth, who are matured in the business, in the entire business scenario, these people would be well off getting directed by the free rein method, right? And then we come across the autocratic direction, which is the superior commands his subordinates and his close supervision. The superior gives clear and precise orders to its subordinates and acts accordingly. He says it should be done my way, this way, because this is the best, okay? And there is no way left to the subordinates to show their initiatives. Like we say, it's my way or the highway, that type of a direction, right? Now, one may turn around and ask me which of the three is the best. I like to add, depending upon the situation, every situation demands different types of directing styles. So the same person needs to cultivate himself through training to switch his styles of autocratic direction at times, democratic or participative or consultative direction at certain times, and certain other times he may have to do a free-rein direction. Now this is one adaptability which managers need to learn through training. While I have my natural personality of being a participative person, I may have to switch my gears into being a let-go person or a free-rein person at times, and also be a autocratic person at certain times. So this is an important part of growth through adaptability, which we need to cultivate. Importance of directing. What is importance? It initiates action. The moment I give directions, people are ready to take actions because they get a clarity. Direction coordinates the group efforts. It ensures maximum individual contribution because he knows exactly what he is doing, and we are giving clear-cut instructions. We are after him, we follow. It reduces reluctance to put up with changes in the organization. How does it reduce the reluctance? Very simple. The moment directions are given, the person knows what he is supposed to do. And since it's a part of the legitimacy of his work, he has to do it because that's the purpose for which he is there in the company, and he conducts it. Right? Directing provides stability and balance to the organization. But for directing, people would not be doing what they're doing, because there is a certain procedural way of doing it, and that brings about results, stability, and also balance in the organization. Direction helps to achieve the objectives of the organization. Obviously, when you do all these things, the last one automatically happens. And that's the end of this session, my dear friends. Very short session. I hope you enjoyed it.